Parakei, Mishnah Vav. Today is very exciting. We'll actually be completing the Masechta with Mishnah Vav and Mishnah Zayin. To go over the numbers before we begin, we've got a total of 21 days it took us to complete Mishnayos Beitza, which we began on July 8th, and then we're completing today on August 1st. Total of 5 parakim, 5 chapters, and 42 Mishnayos. So do the math, 10 minutes a day times 42, divided by 2 Mishnayos a day, comes out to 3.5 hours. That's it. All it took was 3.5 hours to complete the entire Masechta Beitza. So congrats to all of our listeners. And tomorrow, God willing, we'll go ahead and begin our new Masechta, Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So that's awesome. Alrighty, without any further ado, let's do it. Parakeh Mishnah Vav. Misha Hayu Perosav Be'ir Acharis. A person who's got his fruit in another city, okay, and Vyesh Mekomen, and in that city, up until where he is, where in his city, is a distance of more than 2,000 amos, right? So now he can't travel there on Yom Tov. If he didn't make an Erev Sechumen to stretch out his walking distance, he can't travel there. It's more than the 2,000 amos, more than the bonus, area that we give you to walk out of your city, like we had learned. You can walk all around your city, plus 2,000 amos outside your city. And you can only extend that 2,000 amos if you make an Erev Techumen, somewhere within that 2,000 amos to give you another 2,000 amos from where you set up the Erev Techumen, right? So if you set up the Erev Techumen at the end of the 2,000 amos outside the city, you get a bonus 2,000 amos, etc. So here, he didn't do that. And his fruit are in a city which is more than 2,000 amos away from him. And what happened? The Erevu B'nei Oza Ha'ir, the people in the city where his fruit are resting, they made an Erev Techumen, Lahavi Etzlo Miperosev, to bring him his fruit on Yom Tov. So can they bring it to him? They could walk, but he can't. So whose fruit is it? It's his fruit. So as we've been learning, Lo Yovulo, they can't bring him the fruit. And Pirish HaDvarim, we explain, Sha'afapi, even though that the people of that city, where the fruit are resting, they made an Erev Techumen in order to bring him his fruit on Yom Tov. Nevertheless, he didn't. And even though they can walk to him, he can't walk to them. We always go after the owner, right? So therefore, it's prohibited for the people of the city where his fruit are resting to bring him his fruit on Yom Tov, even though they made the Erev. Because he didn't, we go after where he can walk. And if he can't walk to them, then they cannot bring his fruit, which is just like the owner, to him. But of course, if the owner of the fruit made an Erev Techumen, right, before Yom Tov, to extend his walking distance all the way to the city where his fruit are resting, then of course, Perosav Kamohu, his fruit are like him, and he can go and bring his fruit to himself. That wouldn't be a problem. And if they made an Erev, they could bring the fruit to him. Because now, if he could walk that far, his fruit can so as well. So we're following the same theme. And the Gemara explains that our Mishnah is talking specifically in a case where Sheyichel Peres Karen Zavius Vedimtzer Zahivkid Itzlo Lo Kibalav Shmirusam, meaning where the fruit was resting in this other city, right? Sheyichel Peres Karen Zavius. So there's a specific corner where the fruit were resting inside this, this warehouse that was specified for this owner. And the people that were watching the fruit didn't accept the achrayas, didn't accept responsibility. So in that scenario, we have the following Mishnah. But if the case was where the people that are watching his fruit did accept achrayas, they accepted responsibility to guard it, and they're held responsible if something happens to it, then once they're accepting responsibility, then we look at it as we give the fruit the status of those that are watching it. Because they're accepting responsibility over it, they have more of a power over it, and therefore, if they made the Erev Techumen and he didn't, if they're in a situation where they're actually responsible for the fruit so much that if it gets, lost or stolen, they'd have to replace it, then in that regard, we do look at it as if it's the watcher's fruit, and they could bring it to the owner, even if the owner didn't make the Erev, as long as they made the Erev before Yom Tov. Okay? That's Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Zayin, and with this, we finish Masechta Beitza. Mi Shezimin Etzlo Archim. Person who invited a guest to his house from another city. And they came to him on Yom Tov, okay, through an Erev. So they made an Erev in order to walk to him. He was a distance of more than 2,000 amos outside their city limits. So they made an Erev in order to get them to walk to him, but he didn't. Yeah, they made the air, but he didn't. So they walked to him on Yamtif, nice long walk. So now, lo yulichu biyada manos. After the meal that they ate by this guy's house, when they want to go back to their city on Yamtif, they can't, you know, take little doggy bags with them. Why? Because the doggy bags are like the feet of the mezamin, of the owner. And since he didn't make the Erev to walk to their city, they can't take these doggy bags back to their house, you know, to have a little dessert when they come home. They can't do that. If he didn't do it, we go after the owner, and even though they're eating at the meal by his house, they can't bring it back to their house. Unless if the owner who's, you know, inviting this guest, these guests, if he gives the portions of the food to the guest before Yom Tov, and they own it now, then of course they could do it, because now it's theirs. And how would you do that? So there's something called Zachala Adam Shloi B'fanav. You could merit something for a person, even if it's not in front of you. For example, you know, I can go over to Joe, say, hey, Joe, I want you to acquire this bottle of wine for my friend Bill, right? Even though Bill never did anything, Joe could acquire it for him. It's called Zachal Adam Shlo B'fanav. We acquire something for someone else, even if he's not around. You just have to do it through a second party. So there's me, Joe, and Bill. I say, Joe, pick up this bottle of wine for Bill. Once Joe picks it up, then it becomes Bill's. So if they did this before Yom Tov set in, so now who owns these doggy bags, you know, the desserts and the meal? It's the guest. So then when they come on Yom Tov, they could bring it back to their house because it's theirs now and it's not a problem. Okay? And then lastly, in mashkin v'shochten es hamidbarios, a person cannot give to drink or slaughter animals that are in the midbar, that are in the desert on Yom Tov. Why? Because they're not prepared. Right, they're not prepared. The Gemara explains that a Mishnah is talking about a case, they're not prepared. And if they're not prepared, they're like muktza. And therefore, you can't give it to drink or slaughter it on Yom Tov because you never set it aside to be used on Yom Tov to be, you know, for eating purposes. You never set it aside. And therefore, it's muktza. And the Gemara explains that our Mishnah said drinking to give it to drink. Who cares about giving it to drink? Like, why can't I give it to drink? So it says it's aga the shechita. Once talking about slaughtering it, we say the giving it to drink also. Why? Because they used to have the custom to give it to drink prior to slaughtering it, so that when they slaughter it, it's easy to skin off their leathers. Okay? So that's like a side point. But the main point here is that you can't slaughter it or give it to drink if your sole purpose is to drink, give it to drink to slaughter it, right? Because you never prepared it. It's just lying out in the desert. Aval, but mashkin vishochten as a bayasos, you could give to drink and slaughter the bayasos, the animals that are part of the house on Yom Tov, right? Elohin and bayasos, what are the bayasos? What are the animals that are part of your house? Halonos be'ir, they don't have to actually have an animal in your kitchen, but it means you have an animal that are coming back every day from the pasture, and then they sleep, you know, within the city limits of the city, not just out in the boondocks, right? So kol yom, every day, they're considered prepared because they're always coming back to you. Therefore, even if you didn't say I'm using it for Yom Tov, we look at it as if it's always prepared and it's permitted to give it to drink and slaughter it on Yom Tov. But midbarios, what are the animals of the desert? Halonos ba'afar. They sleep, you know, in the meadow, outside the city limits, after the tchum of the ear, the city limits. So it comes out there muktzah. You never really set it aside for using on Yom Tov. Ain't that's a bailam aleihen. The person's not thinking about it to use it to slaughter on Yom Tov. Therefore, it's prohibited to slaughter it on Yom Tov. It's funny, if you think about it, you know, what about giving it to drink? If I just want to give it to drink, you know, maybe it's not a problem because you're not touching it, you're not moving it. So that could be a question. But regardless, the Mishnah says that certainly slaughtering it and possibly giving it to drink, you can't unless it was prepared before Yom Tov. And what's considered prepared before Yom Tov is if it comes home every day and it sleeps within the city limits. But otherwise, if it's sleeping out in the boondocks, then it's not considered prepared. And that wraps up Mishnah Zion, Sok, Masechta Beitza. Now we complete Masechta Beitza. Mazel Tov. Congrats to all our listeners. And tomorrow, God willing, we'll begin the introduction for Masechta Rosh Hashanah.